Welcome to the Ideal Network Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Ideal Network Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. The short version of the word ideal in Ideal Network stands for I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. And there's much more. Thanks for listening in, and share this with the people that are most important to you. Now on to our show with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingles. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. We are doing our very special Ideal Network segment every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Darlene Sartori owns the Ideal Network. I met Darlene as a result of a referral, right? That's the way it works most of the time. So as a result of a referral from one of our satisfied customers on the PM marketing side, we started talking. And it's hard to have a short conversation with Darlene Sartori when she's in her inquisitive mode. So she was asking me questions like, what's that? How does this work? How does this work? Let me tell you what we do. And unfortunately, because I am just like her, that conversation could last for hours because I'm like, well, what do you do and how does that work? And how, so in essence, we can have really long, involved, deep conversations. So obviously when we were doing Building Fortunes Radio and I wanted to shine a spotlight on people doing things the right way, I invited Darlene Sartori to have a special segment because I know that she's the right kind of person. So if you're looking for someone who's going to be able to take care of you, meaning like guide you in the right direction, not necessarily do the work for you, but if you're looking for somebody who can help steer you in the right direction for just about anything, you want to talk to Darlene. Now, one of the issues is, since she is so knowledgeable, she usually mentions something that you need to, using a fishing analogy, which might not be a pleasant one, you need to gaff it like a big fish that you have to get before it kind of jumps off the hook so you can grab it on the boat. So you might need something to gaff some of these thoughts and ideas. Most of the times you'll use a pen or a pencil or some other note-taking devices, and I recommend that you have something ready because she's going to mention an author's name or a title of a book or maybe a philosophy that you'll want to write. And if you know that you will not be able to grab all of them, that's okay because we do these recordings and we put them up on buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal. Or buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal network, and you'll be able to listen to any or all of these and share them with your friends as well. So, Darlene, although I didn't use a fish-friendly analogy relative or little story relative to this, and I apologize, thanks for being here.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, I like stories. You know, that's how our brain thinks, is remembering things that you know, that we hear a funny story or something that's suddenly sad or, you know, something that's emotional, but funny things people do remember. I have one of my sons who happened to be a truck driver for many years could tell some of the most hilarious jokes, and you just never knew when he was being serious or not. And he was one of those, he could rope your ride in, and you would really think he was being serious, and actually what he was doing was getting ready to tell a joke, or he was telling a joke. And so some people just have that ability to reel you in. Unfortunately, a lot of people will probably listen to me out of respect, often more than they will out of interest. And so that's kind of a little bit about my topic today. This is the fourth in the series of what I've been putting together for what we are calling the Ideal Correcting Time series. And the purpose basically for doing that is so that we can learn to live in sustainable, ideal conditions. And I felt like that there was a real need for me to, I guess, do some of my preaching and teaching at the same time on a series that would be on a specific topic, because this is a topic that is humongous. You know, we have the humongous ad network, this is one of those humongous type topics, because we are living on a planet that has been gone through many, many, many upheavals to the point that we've now discovered through archaeological digs and et cetera that our planet literally has been destroyed several times. Floods, volcanic actions, asteroids hitting the Earth. You name a lot of things that's happened on this planet. And so we have had to start over many times. And the question is each time getting better or is it getting worse? So we have been working on the theory that we can begin to learn to control many of the conditions that we've been exposed to in the past, or at least be prepared better to survive and thrive on a faster way. Well, one of the areas that is part of us being able to survive and thrive is learning how to create ideal family and social relationships. So the topic today is really about relationships. And I probably will stray off as I often do. I must say that I'm so grateful that this is recorded because often I have no clue what I've said until after I hear it myself again. I don't know what that's called. I don't know if that's a condition, whether that's a talent or a curse. I don't really know. But I just know that when I get to talking and I get on the roll, it's sometimes a little hard to put the brakes on. So I guess that's good in many ways because, like I said, I say things that I'm not quite sure exactly, you know, wow, did I really say that? Where did I learn that? I don't know sometimes. So I am both a researcher that loves to study other people's works and other people's discoveries. I certainly have many things that is way beyond my pay grade. This past couple weeks, I've dealt with the situation with technology and my phone that I just dearly appreciate, just died on me. And it was a few a while before I could figure out what was going on with it. Because it is one of the larger phones. It's a Nexus 6. And I kind of have gotten accustomed to having that larger screen. And anyway, I really wanted to salvage it, but I could not get to a store somewhere that could do that. So I ended up having to buy another phone. And use that temporarily by putting the SIM card out of this one into that one. And so it automatically picks up and it would connect with AT&T. And so, you know, as soon as I got a phone, I was back in business. But I didn't specifically like that phone. I could not make a relationship with that piece of equipment. So it's not only just people that we make relationships, it's with our inanimate objects that we make relationships with. We become sometimes attached to something that we just prefer to keep. That we've gotten comfortable with it. We know its ins and outs. We know what buttons to push, and we know how to do things. So we can become very attached to something. The attachment, though, needs to be in such a way that it's not life-destructive. It's not an addiction that you can't live without. That, you know, if I had to have gone through and not recovered my phone, which today I actually got my old phone back, and so I am working with it to make sure that it is going to be recoverable and stay recoverable. And then I have this other phone then. So I've got two phones now. So what am I going to do with the second phone? Well, I just happen to have a telephone number that my husband had used And that's been 10 years ago since he, in April it'll be 10 years since he graduated from the planet. And but I've kept his telephone number in my list of ANTT numbers that I've used off and on, and my grandson didn't use one of my grandsons did use his number for a while and then decided that he would switch over to another number, so that number's been laying there idle, but for some odd reason I was attached to that number, and so I just kept it there. So I decided today, I just took a quick trip into town and asked the person at the AT&T store if he could connect it with my that telephone number. And guess what? Within a few minutes' time, he had me a new SIM card and had it put in there and fixed. And it's like, okay, so now I got two phones. So I have a granddaughter who had a phone die on her. And she's having a challenge with the phone that she got as a replacement actually picking up the signal out here in the country. So, well, maybe I'll lend it to her and maybe not. Maybe I'll just keep it around. Who knows what I'll do with it. But you see, there's that level of attachment that we get with things for one reason or another. Well, you know, we do that with people too. And this is important for us to realize that this is something that has to do with being human, but we also see animals getting attached. I have a Chihuahua that is very attached to me. Her name is Lady Dawes. I wonder why. Anyway, that was what my husband named her, and we had swore that we wasn't going to get any more dogs when we finally ended up seeing this little cute Chihuahua one day when my daughter, one of my other daughters, was getting a Chihuahua for her daughter. And we just made the mistake, I guess, to go over there when she went with her. And all these cute little puppies, they were so cute and so sweet. And there was this one little puppy that just kept chewing on my shoe and just kind of falling around with me. And I just had to bring it home. Well, again, that's a form of attachment. And that dog has now been with me, what, she's 13, almost 14 years old. And she is just, you know, she's part of the family. Once in a while, I get a little bit aggravated because she decides to bark every time somebody comes up the driveway, but that's her job. She's just warning me that somebody's coming up the driveway, which is a good thing. It's a helpful thing. And so we look at this word of relationship, and often we don't take it and tear it apart as well as maybe we should to really understand what causes relationships, what causes connections. But, you know, I kind of have this root thing that it has something to do with this thing that we are afflicted with called love. A great affliction to have, by the way. And I think it's one of those emotions that is so valuable in our society for us to have this love-type relationship. And, you know, in the Hebrew and other languages, there are many, 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 many forms for the word love, many definitions for this word love. So maybe we need to have a little hobby of taking the word love and then finding some words that align with other labels that align with, so we can use that word love and attachment and relationships on a more clear basis of what we're actually meaning. Because we often begin grouping things together, and then suddenly they are diluted. The real crux of what you really mean is not there. So I often invest a lot of time in certain words, and relationships is one of those that I feel like that we need to invest much more time in. And so it's just one of those guiding you towards something that might be of help for you as you begin creating the ideal lifestyle that you would like to have, or making the current lifestyle you have even better. So the current best getting ever better is something that I've always enjoyed using as a phrase that came originally, I think, from Dr. Hewitt Gleason out of the School of Thinking.org. And I appreciate people like that that can create words or create descriptions that help us to describe more about how we feel, how we interact with each other, so that we can keep things moving forward with grace, elegance, and ease. So one of the things that I used as a label might be, you know, that you are building the know, like, and trust mutually cooperative relationships. So those are descriptive words that go in front of the word relationship. It's building this know, like, trust, and mutually cooperative relationships. One of the things that I was talking about earlier about taking my phone in today, the extra phone now, and getting it put an old number on that I so that I could use that phone, is I got into a wonderful conversation with the gentleman at the AT&T store in Princeton, he and I talked about, you know, this technology, and we were talking about how much of a challenge it is to get good people working, people that are reliable and et cetera. And he said for years, for over a year, he had worked there all by himself basically because there just was not people that would stick to the job for whatever reason. He really could never figure out why, and he still hasn't figured out why people stay such a short period of time. It's not a hard job if you understand technology. It pays decent for this area, so it's not a low-scale job. And it really is a service job that the people really do appreciate, but I guess maybe they do get a little upset sometimes when you can't fix something or the price is higher than what they think they should have to pay. So there may be some things that you have to put up with in the relationship of being a salesperson or a service person. So these are skills. These are what we call life skills. Well, this past, and so we had a really good conversation about that and some of the things that we are working with that might be able to help small businesses to be able to find a way to address what is it they're actually looking for, so that they can actually match their job, their what they're needing there with the people that are applying. And so this, again, is something that is very, very important in our civilization. As we went through the last few weeks dealing with a situation in the family, this topic of relationships really did come to the forefront of how much in our county we are lacking for things that can help individuals to be healthy. We are very, 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 and I mean, I can't even say that enough times, lacking in mental health care, emotional health care, addiction care, the things that we truly do need in order to help people to overcome the problems that they're dealing with. And so much of this has to do with having a county that is smaller, although we have the large manufacturing plant of Toyota here. Toyota has a real tough time keeping people too. So it could be the fact that we went from being more of a rural farming type company county that had extended families. And so the extended families worked on the farms. And so everyone in the extended family had a job that they were responsible for, and yet they could do other people's jobs too. But they learned and kind of gravitated towards things they loved to do. And so it was kind of like it's that, what I call that DNA code, where you find something that you love to do, and whether you were getting paid any money for it or not, you'd still do it. But when you find a job that both you love to do and you get paid for, or you get commissions for, wow, that's really awesome. So this is where, as we began creating an industrial age, we got further and further and further away from the direct connection of the relationship with you and your job. And so it became to have what we call that 9-to-5 syndrome. You go to work, you do the job, and you didn't really have a real emotional attachment to it. That, so if you lost a job, big deal, you go find another one. So there really wasn't a connection there that was like the glue connection that we could call it, where you felt like that you had a responsibility to stay there, that you had a responsibility to the owner or to the other people that you were working with to show up, to do a good job. In today's world, it's just kind of decayed, and it's one of those situations where we need to address this before we have a real crisis in our civilization of not having enough people to fill the important jobs, which is now happening, and it's happened in our community, and it's happening in other communities where there are plenty of jobs, but no one to fill them. So, and then what ends up happening is we end up with all the homeless problems. We end up with people not caring enough about themselves to make sure that they have the life skills that are necessary. So we end up creating problems where none existed before, and a lot of it has to do with the way we are addressing our relationships in our society. Institutions and education have become at arm's length. They are not dealing with and directly working with this idea of relationships. What is it that you are learning that you're going to apply? Somehow the learning and the application have gotten separated there. There is education that is not really related to the survive and thrive dynamics of life skills, relationship skills, social skills, all of these components that go into creating a satisfying life. And so when a rude awakening happened with a 10-year-old great-grandchild recently, we as a family were not prepared to deal with this situation because it had not happened in our family as yet. Although we had seen it happening in other people's family, well, that's just something that doesn't happen in our family. We have a pretty good relationships, and I look at my mother and father, and I say, to me, they were ideal parents. Maybe I'm looking through jaded eyes. Maybe there's things that they did that weren't as good as maybe I thought they were. But that's not important. The fact that I appreciated them, that they were the kind of parents that I tried to be to my children, is to be there for them and to be able to help to create relationships within the family. Well, as I began to realize, although my brothers and sisters and I have, one of us has a different relationship than the other, and so, but we made friends with each other. We were siblings that liked each other. I don't remember having any real fights with my brothers and sisters, although we were a lot of jokesters. We kidded each other sometimes. But I don't remember having a relationship within the family where we were jealous of each other or we were mean to each other We were, I think, a very loving, kind family. And to me, that's what the ideal family is about. And that's what my husband and I had with our children. Our children, you know, again, kidded each other, you know, kind of, you know, got a little bit rough every once in a while, but they were never mean to each other. They were never cruel to each other. And the same thing happened with most of my grandchildren. I had never really seen my grandchildren being mean to each other or cruel to each other. So when suddenly a great-grandchild suddenly became extremely, extremely cruel to siblings, this began to be a real challenge. And so we reached out to the community looking for resources that could help this girl and to be able to make a better life for herself and to, you know, to be able to be whatever, address the problem. And we could not find any resources in the southern Indiana area that could take this child and work with her to find out whether we were actually dealing with something. You know, my first thing is, does she have a brain tumor? I mean, could she have something seriously wrong with her that, you know, needs to be addressed from the medical standpoint? They didn't even seem to want to address that. It's been quite frustrating over the last couple of weeks dealing with this situation and knowing this child has a situation that needs to be dealt with and no one to find it. So, of course, great-grandma, being the type of person she is, you know, like I volunteered and took on the job of doing some research, doing some questioning. And so what I've begun to do with her is to actually, you know, have conversations with her, build a relationship of trust, know, like, and trust, and help her to look at her life skills. So what we've been doing is going back over and looking at what are the things that she has as life skills from the very beginning, from the, I told her, you know, what's the first thing that a baby does when it's born? It has to breathe. You know, it's a life skill. And so you start writing down all of the life skills that you actually have control over. And then you start into the social skills and then into the entrepreneur skills, into the hobby skills, all of these different levels. So I've been out on the internet. And again, if you are not on my mailing list and you'd like to be on my mailing list, we're getting down to the bottom of the hour here. I would like to invite you to send me an email at idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com. Again, idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com, and ask to be on my mailing list so that I can send you information back. If you're listening to this on the recording or live, if you've dialed in, then ask for session 4. In the Ideal Correcting Time series. And I'm going to quickly give you something that I think that I started working with the adults with that I'm going to try to scale this back to help with younger children and start addressing some of these things, because I am finding from the school bus driver and other parents and et cetera, now that we are now, you know, reaching out and saying, here's a child that has a problem, who else in the community is having these same kinds of problems, and kind of come to find out this is not a rare case. Okay, this is happening more and more. So last week I mentioned universalfamilylife.org. Just like it sounds, Universal Family, UNIVERSAL, family.org. I mentioned that one, okay? And then as I found that I was working with, I started finding that Youngevity had a program that was called a health quiz, and that is just linkupnow.youngevityhealthquiz.com, or just put in youngevityhealthquiz.com and take that health quiz. And what it does is help you to identify products and things that might help you from your answers. And so what I've done is I actually have begun adapting those questions for working with my family and relationships and et cetera. So that one is helpful. I found another site that I am very digging into, and it's called Well People, WellPeople.com. And in there, they have a What is Wellness article, talks about what is wellness. And then it has a really awesome collection of information of taking a test that helps you to comprehend this. And so when you go to wellpeople.com, you'll be able to see what they've got to offer. So those are two sites that I think might be helpful in any of your areas of relationships. And, of course, you all know that the Urantia Papers, URANTIA.org, go to that site and type in information about things like correct or correcting, words like adapt or adapting. Things that would be a love would be another topic. Study those papers from a topical base, because what I'm finding is they are extremely, extremely valuable in gaining you insight. So I think I've kind of put together a little bit of a background on this. And so as I mentioned in the beginning of doing this series, this will be a written series at some time in the future. Right now, I'm just trying to get you started in some of these areas that you need to address in your ideal lifestyle, ideal families, ideal communities, etc. So I'm going to turn this back to Peter. I think he can wrap us
Peter's
up
here.
And take
yep,
us
Peter's
away.
Here. You're Peter. Excellent.
Okay.
Great information. Yeah, great information.
Okay.
So for all those people that were wondering, will I need a pen? Absolutely. See what I mean by you'll need a pen? And I would playfully say all the kids screaming in the background is Diane's grandkids. Darlene's grandkids or Darlene's great-grandkids is having a grand old time. She doesn't run a child's torture chamber in the background because they scream.
No, they torture themselves quite
they
well.
They do. They have such fun. They have such fun in the background. But that's a lot of fun, and that's so cool. I love to hear that background list. Anyway, so having said all of that, make sure you check her out, idealnetwork.biz, idealnetwork.biz, and then also you can go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/ideal or Ideal Network and be able to hear this as well as other radio shows as well. And like I said, there's some stuff that she had mentioned there, any one of those references or thought processes could spin you in a different direction. They could probably change your life. And if you want to work with Darlene, make sure you check her out. So thanks for being here. We'll catch everybody next time. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now. Thanks, Darlene.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Ideal Network Radio Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more segments with Darlene Sartori and Peter Mingle. Darlene encourages everyone to join the Ideal Network so you can say, I live the ideal life, where I do everything around life, love, liberty, and laughter. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Darlene, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.